page 1194 in the Church Bible. And we're in 1 Timothy. So the reading is taken from the 6th chapter of Paul's first letter to Timothy. I'm beginning to read at verse 3. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. I bring you greetings from my wife. We've talked to each other this morning. She's also preaching this morning. So I'm happy that both of us this morning, we are ministering wherever we are in different parts of the world. She said, if you go to St. Mary's, send my greetings. I'm not new to this church. Perhaps for those who joined recently, I'm Richard Mayabi. I'm a born-again Christian. Christ saved me when I was a young man, and he has continued to sustain me by faith and grace in this journey to eternal life. I want to give this to take this opportunity to thank Clive for giving me a privilege to speak to you. It is really a privilege, and I don't take it for granted. But before I preach, I want to take this earliest opportunity, before I forget, to invite you to Kenya. Next year, we are celebrating 60 years of Church Army ministry in Africa. And the way we want to celebrate is we want to invite all our friends and our mission partners who are part of what we do in Africa to be part of that celebration. And just if you didn't know, St. Mary's is one of our key partners, by the way. Seriously, you are top on the list, number one. And today, when we talk of Church Army Rwanda and Church Army Burundi, those two countries, all the captains today who are in those two countries, they have been 100% supported by St. Mary's during their training in Karel College. So you are really adding value. When I talk of expansion and extension of Church Army in different parts of Africa, you are quite key as a church in that contribution. And therefore, I want to invite you. I know a number of you have talked to individuals and you're getting excited. Please start planning. It's next year, June, the third week of June next year. Start saving money and book your diary. We have a place to put all of you to sleep, and we have enough food to feed you. So don't be worried. Will you come? How many are going to come? I want to see Philip Marsden this time round in Africa. Good. Take it serious, by the way. I know Clive is coming out in October, but again, I'm impressing on him to be the team leader to come out again in June, because it will be a worldwide celebration. We are inviting our friends from around the world, Australia, New Zealand, and different African countries to come. It will be a very good event for you as our partners to be together with us for 1 week. And then we can organize for you to go and watch some animals and relax. The Big Five. Yes, the other day we went to see the Big Five with Mike, and I saw a horse. I saw a cow in the field. Then I saw a duck floating on the water. And those are the weed. Did you see? And then I saw a small bird jumping on trees. Then those are the Big Five in England. So that was very good. We didn't see a deer, unfortunately. I want us to reflect on the text that was read to us by Philip, and I know that the Lord is going to bless us. Timothy was a disciple of Paul. And Paul and Timothy came in contact with one another when Paul was visiting Lystra in Acts chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. And when, by the time Paul met Timothy, Timothy was already a young believer, brought to faith by his mother and grandmother. He was already a passionate believer in the faith and also demonstrating clear gifts of leadership. That was something unique about Timothy. That even though he was young in the faith, and of course young in age, he was already revealing serious Christian virtues in his life. The Bible says that the brethren in Lystra spoke well of Timothy. And so Timothy was already a famous young Christian zealous for God. And I want to believe perhaps it's because of this good reputation that attracted Paul to Timothy. But remember, Paul had already fallen out of favor with Barnabas this time, and he must have been very keen to pick on some other companions on his mission trips. And therefore, Timothy became a suitable companion for Paul at this particular time. And I want to congratulate Timothy for having accepted to be a disciple of Paul. If I lived during Paul's time as a Christian, I would have not really been excited to follow him, because Paul was a hardcore evangelist, went through very many challenges. He was jailed, he was beaten, he slept in the cold. I don't think you would have been a very excited disciple of Paul. Nick, I don't know if you would have been excited neither. So we want to congratulate Timothy for having accepted to be a disciple of Paul. And so there is something unique in him. So by the time Paul is writing this text, he's old, he's almost in what you can call in the modern language, retirement. Paul is almost retiring, he's done all what he could do, he's in chains, in jail, he's a prisoner, and therefore Paul feels it's time to hand over the ministry. And who else is better to hand over the ministry other than Timothy and Titus and other committed believers? So I want us to take time and just reflect quickly on the text that was read, and we'll be praying together. The topic for my teaching this morning is a calling to Christian living and discipleship. A calling to Christian living and discipleship. Verse 3 to 5 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul talks about warning against false teachers. Paul talks about warning against false teachers. One of the greatest challenges that Paul faced in his time was people who went after his mission, distorting the teaching of the Christian faith. They planted seeds of discord and confusion with a very clear attempt to ensure that Paul's ministry does not prosper. But if you thought that Paul had challenge, I want us to agree this morning that that challenge is as real today. The challenge of false teachers. It was not just an issue for Paul in his time. It has been an issue throughout in the history of the church. The church has fought at different historical epochs trying to defend the doctrine and to ensure that people are established in the right teaching. So Paul writes to Timothy with, he wants to ensure that as he hands over the ministry to Timothy, Timothy will not abandon the ministry. Timothy will not compromise the truth. But before he focuses on false doctrine, Paul first outlines what is true doctrine. Because you cannot talk about false doctrine before talking about the true doctrine. In verse 3 and 5, he talks about sound instructions. Sound instructions. Doctrine that is rooted in the saving grace of Christ Jesus. Sound instructions. Abiding in the truth of the gospel. These are the things that Paul wants Timothy to focus on and encourage believers of his time. Faith in Christ and also abiding in the commandments of God. Of course, I want to say that any other teaching that was accepted to be Christ-centered and godly for healthy living. So Paul is encouraging Timothy and instructing Timothy to walk alongside believers to ensure that they are not carried away by false teachings. And so Paul also brings out what he thinks false teachings. He talks of worldly knowledge. During Paul's time, he's confronted by Gnosticism. He's confronted by a sect of philosophers, the Socrates and Platos,
who thought that you could also discover God through other ways other than the Christian gospel. And so Paul is aware of these challenges, and he wants to instruct Paul, but also Timothy, and also to the believers of his time. And I want to strike a balance here. Not to use worldly knowledge negatively, but rather to use the knowledge we acquire in life for God's glory. So world knowledge. During Paul's time, we had a lot of spiritual sects that were also in competition with the gospel. Human wisdom was a challenge. The greed and lust for money was a challenge, and I'll soon be reflecting on that as another challenge for in Paul's time. Of course, in other texts, in other letter writings, Paul talks of witchcraft and sorcery. For us, this is really in Africa, but if you watch even in the West today, there's a lot of African spiritism being transferred in the West today. Witchcraft and sorcery. Denial of the sonship of Christ was a major challenge during Paul's time. Denial of his resurrection and ascension. Now, I want to repeat again, brothers and sisters, if you thought that this was a challenge just in during Paul's time, it's really today. We live at a time when people think that the Bible is outdated and therefore is just a novel like any other. And for us who pursue God, we have to insist on the right teaching. We have to seek God and live out the scripture to be able to influence the society. In the modern society, we have teachings like transcendental meditation, the yoga things. Freemason is a major challenge, isn't it? Established in England, we are being influenced by, actually it is the English who went around conquering the world that went with the Freemason. It's a very old spiritual sect in England that men and women are stuck in. And it's a wrong teaching. And sometimes those people are in our pills. I hope no Freemason person is here. But if you are here, you need the grace of God and to be delivered from it. Because it darkens our mind and drifts us from understanding who God is. Today we are challenged with sexism. It's a major challenge. And Paul says that such a teachings, of course, revisionists. You know, we are faced with the challenge of revisionists. People who think that some parts of the Bible need to be deleted or they need to be revised and reframed or rewarded afresh is a major challenge. But Paul is keen to say, brothers and sisters, that such teachings cause divisions among believers and lead to ungodly living. And the best way to apply this is to my own church, the Anglican Church. The Anglican Church has spent 30 years spending money in hotels. The bishops of the Anglican Church, I'm ashamed. They have moved from when they finish one meeting in London, then they think, where are we moving next? They go to Egypt to discuss whether things like homosexuality is right or wrong. Nonsense, really. Stupid. But I want you to know one thing, that the more the Anglican Church has spent time discussing such a things, the more the church has continued to divide. When the church focuses on things that are not gospel-centered, they cause divisions. They bring hurt, and they make people not to see the glory of God. But they also make the church to die, really. They derail the church from the focus of mission as the cultural mandate of God's people. And so I want to beseech the people of St. Mary's, please to resist those teachings from among us, that this church may embrace the glory of God and people who are godly and people who are searching God's heart, that this church may become light in darkness in Basingstoke. Because when we focus on things that bring division, then Christ is thrown out of the window and the church becomes just another thing to do like any other club. In verse 6 and 10, Paul talks of contentment, love for money. The challenge, the tension was between the poor Christians of Paul's time and those who are rich in the society. And again, I want to say that if you thought it was just during that time, it is still tension and real today. A lot of people are tempted to pursue material things. And one time, I preached this, and one Christian walked to me after teaching and asked me, "Richard, do you mean we should hate money?" I thought, yeah, this is really a challenge. So I want to, when Paul talks of love of money, I want to bring it down. What Paul means here is developing greed for money. Wanting more and more and more and more. I think that's what Paul talks of, love for money. Craving for money, for more and more. Lusting over money and greed for money. I want us to agree that the challenge for Christian believers is creating a balance between the desire for material things and as acquisition of wealth for God's service. The balance that we need to have here as a church of Christ, it's not saying that we hate money, surely. Who hates money here? Who does not like money here? We love money. But the definition of loving here, it is you wanting to keep more than what you need. And I'm saying the challenge for the church, for me and you, is to create a balance between acquiring wealth for God's service and just acquiring wealth for pleasure. I want to thank God for the Christians of the old age in this country. If you go to London, Nick, and you look at St. Paul's Cathedral, the magnificent building, and you just wonder the wealth, the Christians of that time, they gave money to build. They were zealous for God. It is the same passion and attitude we need to develop even as we serve God today. And I want to encourage you that if you're working, please work and acquire money. So that, because this church, this church cannot survive without money. And the resource for the money that serves this church is you. So I want to encourage you and I want to encourage myself. Please let us go out there and work and get money in the right means so that the church and the work of God will not lack. That will make a difference between God's people who have money and worldly people who have money. God's people work to get money so that we can do mission and conquer. We can go out there and be able to evangelize because we have resources. After all, if you're a poor church, nobody wants to be associated with you. I want to encourage you to work and get money for God's service. There is a danger of falling victim of negative forces in life when the only goal in life is to greed over money. Paul simplifies, in fact, he says the only thing that we need in life is food and shelter. Live simple, food and shelter. So once you have food and you have shelter over your roof and you have clothing, it means every other resources you have within your reach should be used for God's glory. Extra material gains that we have should be used for the expansion of God's kingdom. It's not about how much we earn to own the world. Brothers and sisters, it's about how much we earn to serve God. There's a quote from the Methodist. I want to give you a quote from the Methodist Church. It says, "Earn as much you can, save as much you can, give away as much as you can." And I love that. Earn as much as you can, save for yourself as much as you can. Give away to God's ministry as much as you can. That was the emphasis from John Wesley. But verse 11 to 16, as we go towards winding up, Paul focuses on Timothy's life. He tells Timothy, but you as a man of God, flee away from these things. The list of things that are listed in those in the texts above, in the scripture. Flee away from them. Resist. So the main challenge for Timothy was not just preach the gospel, but to resist the temptation of becoming a victim. Paul tells him to live a life of righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And I want to call this commending the gospel. How do we commend the gospel to the world? We commend the gospel to the world by living the gospel, demonstrating the gospel, revealing virtues of righteousness and godliness, faith in Christ established, love for the world, those who are outside God's grace, enduring when we are going through challenges, and also being gentle to those who need God's mercy and grace. Standing and defending that which we have confessed in Christ Jesus is the greatest challenge of the believers today. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15 to 16, Paul tells Timothy, give yourself wholly to these things and live and progress so that when people look at you, then they will know that you are worth of the gospel. Recently, a friend of mine asked me, Richard, what is this one thing you can do to change the world? One thing that you will do to change the world. And I thought, what is that one thing that I can do to change the world? And quickly, an idea dropped on my mind, and I said, integrity is the thing. Paul is telling Timothy, leave the gospel, leave the truth. If the church will cultivate a virtue of integrity for all of us, where we live, from our families to the business to the streets to neighborhoods, if all of us can nurture the life of integrity, then the world will follow Christ. Sometimes, or many times, people who don't come to church, they have been so much frustrated and even maybe hated God more, because us who come to church, we've not made an effort of commending the gospel to them. We've not even sometimes loved one another in the church. We've segregated one another in the church. We've classified one another in the church. Now, what about those who have not yet come to the church? We need a challenge as people of God to commend the gospel. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And finally, verse 17 to 21, Paul tells Timothy, instruct those who are blessed with material things to be generous and share in the privilege that God has given them with the poor. There shall always be poor within our neighborhoods. I've come to learn that the poor are not just in Africa. The poor are even also in England. And therefore, we are under duty as God's people, if we are blessed, to share our resources. Now, the only way you can overcome the entanglement of material things is to give away when God bless you. You become liberated. You become free of those things. You become a blessing, a channel of blessings to other people. We're encouraged, brothers and sisters, to share our wealth and our possessions so that Christ can be glorified in our lives. God bless you so much. I want to encourage you that as you go out in the world this morning, between now and next Sunday, be a woman and a man of integrity. Commend the gospel to those who are searching Christ and they have not yet found him. Amen. Father, we thank you and we bless your holy name. I just want to thank you this morning that, Lord, you have brought us to sit under your feet. and to learn from you, to draw from your throne. We live in a world full of challenges right away from our families to the places of work, especially in this country where there are so many restrictions on how we need to express our faith. Father, I want to pray that these who have come this morning, may the Spirit of God fall upon them and enrich them and encourage them. Those who are sick and who are not feeling well in their bodies, Lord, I pray that heal them and restore them back to yourself. Those who are in this church this morning, and Lord, they have not found the grace of salvation in their hearts. They are still exploring to become believers in Jesus. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will quicken them to understand your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless his holy word.